1:41 a.m. local time. That means it's 19:30 UTC where you live. And of course, that also means that this is the Dubious Goals Committee, starring me. My name is Tobe. I'm your host and chairman. What are we doing today? I have no idea. Let's check the handy dandy agenda. Oh yes, right here at the top of the list, I might be ill. But then again, when am I not maybe ill? Man, there is something wrong with my guts today that I don't even know how to describe. Something systemic. I think I'm broken. You know the thing that pisses me off the most? I can't hack myself. I get to hack everything else I want to, but I don't get to hack me. Oh, there's something wrong in this world. Oh, you know what I'm sitting here thinking about? Thinking about last night, and the night before, for that matter. If you're not familiar with the latest craze that's sweeping Anon Radio, it is rubber of high quality. And if you need rubber of high quality as much as I do, you need to be sure to tune in to Asia Culture Adventure with Hong Tudu, and you might want to check the open mic show on and on radio every night at 4 o'clock UTC. Oh boy, you're missing out, and rubber of high quality can't even be explained. You have to experience it, so be sure to stay tuned tonight at either midnight UTC or 4 o'clock UTC to get your daily dose of rubber of high quality. Oh, and there's some other good news. Last night, I was watching, I don't know what I was watching. I think I was just scrolling through channels when suddenly I stopped on a NASCAR thing because it said the big race is coming up. That's right. If you're not familiar with NASCAR, their big, huge signature race is the first race of the season, and it is called the Daytona 500. And it is called that because it takes place in Daytona Beach, Florida, and it is a race of 500 miles. Now I know what you're thinking, but Tobe, you're not a redneck, you're not from the South, you don't have any interest in stock car racing, and I would say, you know, you're right, this is true, but what I do like is hacking stuff, and if you think about it, you know, stock cars are pretty much the ultimate hack for cars, at least, you know, stock cars, even though, you know, NASCAR cars are not stock. Still, what this is a competition to see who can hack a car to make it go the fastest for 500 miles. And if you know anything about cars, and you probably do, that's a trick. That's a hard thing to do. Oh, sure, it's easy to get a car to go 500 miles if you only want to go 55 or 60 miles an hour. That's simple. You can go 500 miles and it'll take you about 8 hours. That's not what they're doing here. Once you start increasing that time, as soon as you start increasing that speed and decreasing that time, you start wearing out parts and you start getting into all kinds of trouble. And so that's why I've recently been fascinated with NASCAR, especially the big races, the big 500 mile races, because these are endurance contests now. It's like, you know, who can hack a car the best? Then you put some idiot in it and let them drive it at 200 miles an hour around and round in circles. And yeah, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I want to be the guy driving. I don't want to be the guy driving, I want to be the guy hacking. Funny thing is, I don't really know too much about cars. When I was of the age when all the other kids in the neighborhood were talking about cars and making their cars go faster. Me and my friends were a little bit more concerned with making our modems and making our computers run faster. And, you know, just a cultural difference, that's all. And now that I'm a million years old and I've seen all the computers I have ever wanted to look at, and, you know, if I never see another computer again, I shouldn't say that. And regardless, what was I talking about? Yeah, now that I'm a million years old and got nothing better to do than to sit around and watch people drive cars around in circles, I watch people drive cars around in circles, and then I wonder to myself, gosh, how do they do that? How come my car won't do 200 miles an hour? You know, these are the questions that I ask myself. So a few years ago, I actually got kind of hooked on watching NASCAR occasionally, and it was only because I managed to turn to a channel right when a race was starting, and it was, when I say the race was starting, I really mean the pregame show. So I watched an hour of pregame or pre-race hype, and I learned, oh, this guy's the points leader, and this guy's the up-and-comer, and this guy's the bad guy, and this guy's the whoever. And so I got all the backstory, and I thought, oh, okay, I can watch this race with all this backstory now. And so I did! And that's how I got hooked on NASCAR. Of course, NASCAR could be better. It's okay, it's fun to watch. I usually root for cars that have candy sponsorships, because I like candy. So I like Kurt Busch, who drives the M&M's car, because there's M&M's painted on it. And that's who I always want to win. And he does pretty good. However, if anybody were to ever enter the field driving a Hello Kitty-sponsored car, then, of course, I would have to root for that car. And let's face it, I'd probably have to be on that team. If there was a Hello Kitty racing team, ooh, yeah, I'd send them my resume. I know how to make things go fast, not necessarily with, you know, internal combustion engines. As far as I'm concerned, if you want something to go fast, you stick a rocket motor on it. They're a lot easier to deal with. I mean, there's no moving parts. That's a beautiful thing. But there are specific rules in NASCAR where you have to use internal combustion engines and you can't strap rocket motors onto anything. God, everybody's such a buzzkill. And if you want to watch NASCAR, you can start watching it this Sunday. Check your local listings for times and stations, but the Daytona 500 is February 14th. And I think that's also the same weekend as USA 7s from Las Vegas. And then, 2 days later, the Champions! That's right, Champions League starts back up again. I can't wait. I am chomping at the bit. These are the knockout rounds of the Champions League. So, you know, one thing you need to understand is the Champions League is not a league per se. It's really more of a tournament. Just like the World Cup is a tournament, or Euro 2016 is a tournament. Basically, a bunch of teams go into group play, some teams get eliminated, and then the remaining teams go into the knockout rounds, just like in the World Cup. This is different than league play, where teams just play each other a bunch of times and then get points, whether they win or draw, or no points if they lose. But anyway. So yeah, the second half of the Champions League season is coming up. It's going to start here in about another week. And if you can't remember or just don't know what the Champions League is, this is a league of teams that are the best teams from the individual leagues around the country. Did that make sense? Did I word that properly? What the Champions League is, they take the top four teams in each country's domestic league. So the top four teams in the English Premier League play in the Champions League, along with the top four teams from the French Premier League, which is called La Ligue, the league. And then, you know, the top four teams from the Bundesliga, which is the German top league. And that's what the Champions League is. And that's why it's the best football ever. And I should also say, this is the European Champions League. There are Champions Leagues for other continents too, but they're not nearly as interesting. So if you want to watch the best football ever, you want to watch the UEFA Champions League. UEFA is the Union of European Football Associations. It's the good stuff, kids. Me and my cat, we watch it every day. Well, every day that it's on, anyway. What else is coming up? Oh, yes. In that same span, on the 15th, the day before the Champions League, and the day after the Daytona 500, my bank will be closed. I learned that today when I went to the bank. Remember that weird $34 check that I got that I can't remember why I have it? I went to the bank and I put that in the bank today. And I had to fill out the little form, and then I went up to the counter, and I didn't get a penny. Yes, there is actually a teller at my bank. Her name is Penny. And I thought that's a good name for a person that works at a bank. And if you're wondering what I think might be a bad name for a person that works at a bank, oh, I'd say Tobe. Tobe is a bad name for anybody who works in a bank because there's no Mots in banks. Oh, and they have ugly green carpet and all that fake linoleum that looks like marble on particle board, and it's supposed to look austere, and it doesn't. And it kind of smells like printer's ink in my bank, which I imagine, you know, comes from all the money, but I might just be imagining that smell just because I know that there's a lot of money there. And subconsciously, I know I'm supposed to be smelling money. I don't like to go to the bank. But I do like to go to the ATM at the bank because it's all green. I love... Did I tell you about... Yeah, of course I did. I did that in the ATM show. Ugh. I love the ATM because at night you can see it from really far away because there's all these green lights on it. Then you pull up to it and you put your card in and the green card reader flashes. And I'm like, yeah! I got action on my ATM. Speaking of ATMs, you want to hear my ATM? Here you go.
To hear information on how to use this ATM, press the bottom left key on the keypad. You may repeat instructions on any screen by pressing the bottom left key on the keypad.
Está bienvenido al cajero automático con instrucciones audibles de estándar interfase Edition Cajero.
Would you like to turn off the video display before Please select the language you wish to use. For English, press 2. For Spanish, press 6. To cancel this transaction, press cancel. To repeat these options, press the bottom left key on the keypad. Please select the language you wish to use. For English, press 2. English. Enter your personal identification number on the keypad. For security, you will enter. Please select the type of transaction by pressing the appropriate key. To transfer funds from one account to another, press 1. To deposit cash and/or checks, press 2. To withdraw cash, press 5. To withdraw. Please select an account type. For checking, press 1. Checking. Please select a withdrawal amount. For $100, press 1. For $60, press 2. For $20, press 3. $100. If you would like a receipt with your transaction, press 1. For no receipt with your transaction, press 2. No. Please wait while we process your transaction. Please remove your cash. The dispenser slot is located below and slightly to the left of the ATM keypad. Your transaction is complete.
You gonna be Radio Kitty?
In the name of God, put down that ham immediately!
I
was sleeping, gently napping, when I heard the phone. Who is on the other end talking? Am I even home? Did you see what she did to him? Did you hear what they said? Just a New York conversation rattling in my head. Oh my, and what shall we wear? Oh my, and who really cares? Just a New York conversation, gossip all of the time. Did you hear who did what to whom? Happens all the time. Who has touched and who has dabbled here in the city of shows? Openings, closings, bed repartee, everybody knows. Oh, how sad, and why do we call? Oh, I'm glad to hear from you all. I am calling, yes, I'm calling, just to speak to you. For I know this night will kill me if I can't be with you. If I can't be with you.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Dubious Goals Committee. And we're still on Anon Radio. And I, of course, am still Tope. And I'm thinking that we need to go downstairs again. Let's go down into the basement. I have an idea. So let's grab this stuff here. And make our way down into the basement. I hope this cord is long enough. It is. And we open the door and we close the door. And we open the basement door. And close the door behind us because special kitties can't go into the basement. Alright, we walk down a few stairs, walk by my furnace, my beautiful brand new furnace. Well, brand new about 3 years ago. It cost $6 million. It's the first $6 million furnace in the world. It didn't really cost $6 million, but it might as well have. It's a monster. And a lot of that money was the monster air conditioner. I got this air conditioner that's taller than I am. Okay. We're now down in the basement, and I'm standing in front of some shelving on which I have a lot of my junk. Here's some shelves that are all, you know, parts. Parts for what? You know, parts for whatever. Mostly robots. Here's a real nice power supply. This power supply costs $777 retail. You might wonder how I know that, but that's not what we're down here for. Today we're down here to take an inventory of my decks of cards. I have quite a bit of playing cards, and I actually collect a certain deck. This is hard to explain, but I collect one very specific brand and model of cards, and this would be the U.S. Playing Card Company's Bicycle Red Rider Backs. Okay, you're probably familiar with the Bicycle brand. They come in multiple colors these days, but red is probably the most common. And I collect those. Now, once people hear, oh, you collect playing cards, then they start giving you decks of cards that are not what you collect, but you can't refuse them because then you look like you're a jerk. You gotta take them and smile and go, oh, thanks. But it doesn't do me any good because now I have all these decks of cards. Okay, so I've got this one shelf, and it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. 40 decks of cards. And the vast majority of these are still sealed. I've got two decks of mushroom playing cards that are made by some weird company. And I do have some bicycle brand decks here, including some 808 variants, all the weird colored ones. I've got the black ones, the silver ones, the green ones, the pink ones, blah, 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 blah. And I've got some regular 808s, and then I've got some wacky stuff here. Here's one of my favorite decks. It's the 125-year anniversary edition of what became the 808. This is before the 808 rider back was invented, but the 125th anniversary deck is basically what the deck looked like in 1885, and I've got a blue one, and it's actually got four bicycle riders on the back, but it's not the rider back that we're familiar with. Here's another one of my favorite decks of cards. This one was given to me by my luthier, the guy who builds my instruments. This is a deck, this is a reproduction deck from 1864, and so it's got square corners, and it has no indices, meaning there are no numbers up in the corner to tell you what it is. You actually have to count the damn spots if you're not familiar with them. And then under this deck, of course, is my Hello Kitty deck of playing cards. And then, of course, I got two Steamboat 999s down here, which my dad picked up. My dad got me a red and blue set of those. Awesome. But that's not the cards we're even going to talk about. That's 40 decks of cards that just sit on a shelf. The decks of cards we're going to talk about today are sitting right here in this plastic box, which I will take down from the shelf and place right here. And this is what I'm concerned with. This is what we need to inventory today. All right, so right on top, oops, got some stuff falling off here. And I have to deal with my nose. Hold on a second. I got to find a Kleenex. Okay. I feel much better already. I've got the box opened, and oh boy, right on top I'm already seeing all this great stuff that I love, and that you should probably love too. What do I have right on top here? One, two, two Tally-Ho number nines in red. One Tally-Ho number nine in blue. And these are all sealed. And I've got one pack of my signature deck. If you're wondering what my signature deck is, it's Bulldog Squeezers. This is different from my standard deck, which is the Red Rider bag. So I've got one sealed blue Bulldog Squeezers, one sealed red Bulldog Squeezers, one opened red Bulldog Squeezers. And this is my one that I like to work with. And on the second level here, we've got, oh, the four-color EZC Low Vision 808 deck. Oh, I've got a blue bridge size. Why do I have this? I don't know. Oh, here's the 808 Christmas deck. This is really cool because it's a darker red. It's slightly different back, and Santa Claus is riding the bike on the Jokers. And here's some miniatures. Two miniature reds. Here's an unopened rider back. Here's an antique rider back. Okay, here's my giant set of red rider backs. The jumbo cards. They're about 5 inches by 7 inches. Here's my fun antique red rider back from my grandmother. Okay, here's an interesting one. Here's a red rider back, but it's a Svengali deck. Here's my red rider back that is a stripper deck. And if you don't know what these are, you can look it up, or you can ask me and I'll explain it later without giving away any trade secrets. And so, why is this stuff rolling all over the place? Okay, so I've got, how many 808s? There's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 16, 18. And these are just my functional red rider backs. Now, let's put these back in. We gotta leave the tally hose on top because I need to get to the tally hose on occasion. There's a very famous magic trick that uses a tally ho deck. And then yes, you have to use a tally ho deck because The tally-ho deck says number 9 on the case. And that number 9 plays an important role in the magic trick itself. I have always liked the tally-ho back, too. If you were to see it, you'd recognize it immediately. It's kind of this funky rosette pattern. But my money says you've probably never ever seen Bulldog Squeezers. And that's why they're my signature deck. I do love Bulldog Squeezers. You know what? And I think I'm just going to put this red one in my pocket so I can take it upstairs and mess with it later. If you want to come over to my house and play cards, that'll give me an excuse to get out the Bulldog Squeezers. Okay, now. So what's our grand total on decks of cards here? Well, we got the collection, plus the functionals, plus the stock. And there was 40 in the collection. There was, 18 in the functionals, so that's 58. And now, the stock. We gotta count the stock, which is over here. And we got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 20, well, got 22 red and 2 blue. Why do I even have these? There must have been a reason. I was probably gaffing or stacking a deck. You gotta realize that the reason I have all these things is that so I can do questionable things with them. I don't even think I'm supposed to talk about it. Again, here we are on an on-radio talking about illegal things and things to do. Hey, what is this? Oh, yeah. Okay, here's an odd one. I forgot I had this. When the local comic book store burnt down last year or the year before, actually, it didn't. A store in the same building burnt and the comic book store had to move. This would be the Dragon's Lair. I've spent a lot of time there. It's not just a comic book store, it's also the gaming store, and that's why I spent so much time there in my childhood. But when the comic book store, the Dragon's Lair, moved, they had a lot of stuff that was slightly water damaged and smoke damaged, and I managed to pick up some kind of deck of cards, you know, a magic deck, for only $1. Oh, and yeah, see, I'm reading. I didn't even read the description or even what it was. All I saw was, oh, a deck of magic cards for $1. I'll take it. Yeah, it's sweet. It's marked, it's stripped, and it's stacked. Cool. And everybody should have a stripper deck. That's why I bought this. Because every kid needs a stripper, and I don't mean a chick that takes her clothes off, even though most kids need one of those too. But every child needs a stripper deck. You know, and I would love to sit here and explain to you what exactly a stripper deck is and what it's used for. But I've noticed that, once again, I'm running out of time because even this basement clock says that it's getting closer and closer to 2000 hours UTC. And that means that my time here is up. Our total inventory, what did I say? It's 24 plus 18 plus 40. Let's see. 40 plus 18 is 58, plus 24 is 70, 82. I have 82 decks of cards, and these aren't even the ones that I use every day. The ones I use every day, there's 3 or 4 decks upstairs that don't even get counted in this inventory. So, maybe we'll save that for another time. Maybe we'll do that with the dice show. The mysterious dice show that never seems to materialize. Yeah, I'm getting on it. All right, I'm gone. Bye, 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 bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
Hertz continuous output is taken and modulated by the ringing current frequency, giving a warbling effect. Once again, various